Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. As we continue our discussions of evangelization, today we come to perhaps the most difficult question. What do we do when all of our efforts fail? We've all had that experience. It's not fun. Your friend or your family member has resisted every effort you have made. Every argument you have tried has fallen flat. Even the times you felt like you had made progress, it came to little. You're tempted to just about lose hope. However, love keeps pushing you, and you just cannot give up. You're at a loss. You know something is missing, some element, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Your loved one is just not willing to go on a search for Jesus. Let us reflect for a moment on the scriptures. As we look through the Gospels, we see many examples of people searching for Jesus. Why did they do this? Out of some need. In many cases, it was some physical need, wasn't it? Jesus himself says here in John chapter 6, verse 26, this is right after the feeding of the 5,000, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." What is he saying here? They were not searching him out for some spiritual fulfillment, but for physical nourishment. They're not interested in love. They're hungry. But Christ is trying to refocus their priorities, not on natural food, but on spiritual food. He says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And we all know he goes on to discuss the bread of life, which concludes with them rejecting him and walking away. First, they came to him out of some physical need, some hunger. They were willing to listen to him because they were hungry, and they thought he had something to offer them. But as soon as he makes clear his spiritual intentions, they're not interested. Not only are they not interested, they're disgusted. Now, back to our loved ones. Do they seek out Jesus? Well, no, at least not sacramentally in the Catholic Church. Why not? What did these people have that our loved ones do not? They are searching him out because they are hungry. Now, spiritually speaking, each and every one of us is hungry for God, even our loved ones who refuse to give God a chance. We all have this desire, this pull for his love, which nothing else can fulfill. We feel this pull, this longing, this desire, but what happens today in our society? Instead of running to Christ to fulfill this need, what do? We fill this need with food, with shopping, with drink, with entertainments, with distractions. We all have our preferred stimulant. Well, sure, it doesn't completely fill the void inside of us, not permanently anyway, but it sure does fill us up temporarily. So as soon as it wears off and we feel that longing for God again, what do? We go right back to it. More shopping, more eating, more drinking. It becomes a cycle of overstimulation, constant distraction. Our society has few who are hungry for God, but it is filled with people who have addictions to all sorts of stimulants. Why aren't our loved ones running and searching for God? They aren't hungry. They've been filled up already. Those people in the gospel story, at least they went looking for him. They were hungry. They did not like what they heard when they found him, but at least they went searching for him. Our generations, they don't even bother to get up off the couch to go looking for him. When we show up inviting them to RCIA, we might as well be selling useless junk, VCRs or cassette players, because there is no hunger. All we have is useless junk. They just do not recognize that there is a hole that needs to be filled. There is no room in that hole for anything else. It's been filled up with all the treasures of the American dream. So what are we to do? Without hunger, no strategy, no words, no argument, no evangelization works. Of course, the answer is prayer. We must pray. Saint Monica is our dear patroness. She who prayed tirelessly for her son's conversion. He was stubborn. Clearly, he had hunger. But like those of our generation, he was filling up with everything else the world had to offer. But after 17 years of prayer, what happened? It's not possible that the son of so many tears should perish. Augustine was baptized by St. Ambrose in Milan. Prayer changes things. St. Monica is testimony to that. Silence? When we are silent, we give the enemy the opportunity to speak, and what he has to say is never good. Adam is a testimony to that. He was silent when he should have been praying. When he was silent, the serpent was speaking, and what he had to say was not good. Christ was not silent. He said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." This calling out, this refusal to be silent in the face of trial, this is intercession. This is the cross. This is the first and the last vocation of those of us who evangelize. Intercession. Saint Padre Pio is our patron. When he was newly ordained, Padre Pio passed by the home of an old man. His name was Tizzani, and he was a disgraced former priest. Everyone had given up on Tizzani. He was alone and dying. Padre Pio did not give up on him. He entered his home and offered to hear his confession. Tizzani tearfully reconciled his life to God just before he died. Don't ever give up. Because when all else fails, intercession does not. Intercession softens the heart. It prepares an individual to properly accept conversion. The intercessor implores God to pour out his grace upon the individual. The intercessors pray for the grace necessary for the individual to overcome their distractions or their addictions. The intercessor prays for the grace for the individual to recognize their hunger for God. In this, Mary is our patroness. For at the moment the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she was united to the Almighty, what did she do? She went in haste. She went in haste. We too must go in haste. We must go in haste, interceding to our Father. She went in haste to tend to the corporal needs of her cousin Elizabeth. And when she arrived, what did she do? She proclaimed the gospel. She evangelized. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. All this because she said yes to God. She said yes to God. Always keep this one thing in your heart. God chose to bring about his presence, his body, blood, soul, and divinity into this world through the spousal union of the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Mother. God chose to bring about his presence, his body, blood, soul, and divinity into this world through the spousal union of the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Mother. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the fiat of our dear Mother that Christ comes into this world. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of our dear Mother that Christ comes into our hearts. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit and the intercession of our dear Mother that Christ comes into the hearts of our friends and our loved ones. It is to the Holy Spirit and to our dear Mother that we evangelists intercede on behalf of our loved ones, that Christ may be born in their hearts. Pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolation through Christ our Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.